Morning again. Busy week this week. All kinds of stuff going on. So glad to see you here this morning. So we'll start off this morning. You know, Tom Sappingfield, you know what he does in the morning if you come in early. You know, he's got the joke or jokes of the week. And he's been heavy on Lone Ranger and Tonto. So in his honor, we're going to start with that this morning. I don't know if it's one he's told and I've missed or not, but actually applies to the message. Okay, not just a joke, but the Lone Ranger and Tonto, as Tom says, you know a lot about them the last couple of Sundays, but they stopped in the desert for the night. And after they got the tent all set up, both men fell sound asleep. Now, some hours later, Tonto wakes the Lone Ranger, and he says, "Kimo sabe, look toward sky, what you see?" The Lone Ranger wakes up, and he looks around, and he replies, "Well, I see millions of stars." "What that tell you?" asks Tonto. And the Lone Ranger thinks about it for a bit, and he says, "Well, astronomically speaking, it tells me there are millions of galaxies and potentially billions of planets. Astrologically, it tells me that Saturn is in Leo. Time-wise, it appears to be approximately 3:15 in the morning. Theologically, it's evident the Lord is all-powerful and we are small and insignificant. And meteorologically, it seems we will have a beautiful day tomorrow. What's it tell you, Tonto?" Well, Tonto's silent for a moment and then says, "Kimo sabe, you are dumber than a box of rocks. It means someone stole our tent." So, okay, we're going to talk about judgment and discernment. Well, someone stole our tent, that's discernment. I discern someone stole our tent. Being called someone a dumber than a box of rocks, that's kind of a judgment there that's been made. So it's being judgmental. You know, the judge is to form an opinion through careful weighing of evidence and testing of premises. That's judging. Now, discerning is to recognize or identify as separate and distinct. It's separating things and categorizing them. So we're going to read Matthew 7, 1 through 11. And got a few verses to read this morning, but Matthew 7, 1 through 11, we're going to start with. We'll read some other verses, but come back to this one. Matthew 7, 1 through 11. "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you into pieces. Ask, seek, knock. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets," otherwise known as the Golden Rule. You know, sometimes this can be a difficult passage. And it's looked at differently. And, you know, some use this to say, we're never to judge. It says, judge not, you're going to be judged. We don't judge others. We don't judge people. We don't make judgments. Some say, well, this is not what it's saying at all. And I'll admit, I've used it to say, you know, judge not. It's easy to throw that out there. Judge not, lest ye be judged. We're not to judge. But if we really look at it, is that really truly what it says? And you may agree or disagree, but let's consider some things. There are some judgments that we make. I want to drop down to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 through 6. Talks about some basic judgments we make, but there's some other ones as well. But 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 through 6 says, if any of you has a dispute with another, do you dare take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the Lord's people? Or do you not know that the Lord's people will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more the things of this life? Therefore, if you have disputes about such matters, do you ask for a ruling from those whose way of life is scorned in the church? I say this to shame you. Is it possible that there is nobody among you wise enough to judge a dispute between believers? But instead, one brother takes another to court, and this is in front of unbelievers. You know, the Bible talks about judging and judges. You know, the Bible has a book of judges. God appointed people, women and men, to be judges of the Bible, to settle disputes among folks. And Christians are to have settlements between each other, but in gentleness and in love, and to be an example in the way they come together and do these. And then he said, you know, the Lord's people will judge the world. You know, the Lord's people will judge angels. You know, and the Lord's people should have leadership that can judge disputes between believers in ways that still glorify God. You know, we should be an example to unbelievers on how to handle things. We should be an example over the worldly ways. James 4, 11 through 12. It's into judgment again. James 4, 11 and 12 says, brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judge them, speaks against the law and judges it. And when you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Now we got to take this in a little bit of context. You know, the James chapter is talking about submission to God, you know, and doing things God's told us to do and being obedient. But it's being submissive to God's word. And they were failing. So, again, maybe this appears to say we cannot judge or use judgment. But notice again, it begins with the statement he's really talking about. Do not slander one another. That's the lead into this small section. Because, you know, he's talking about when you talk about someone, you know, you're not only breaking the law, but you're placing yourself as if you're in charge of it, that you're in charge of God's word. And, you know, who the person is or isn't on the inside is a judgment only God can make. You know, only God knows us completely. And I think this ties into where you've all heard the verse, you know, a speck in someone's eye and a beam and someone's in our own or a plank. You know, he's saying, don't be a hypocrite. You know, I think when this passage uses judgment, it's more about being judgmental and how we're using that. You know, someone wrote, why is it that my dirt is never as dirty as your dirt, from my perspective? And, you know, my sin never seems as sinful as the sin of others. And that's what Jesus is referring to. You know, I've got a log in my eye, but I find it really easy to ignore that. But that speck in your eye, it's standing out. It's glaring back, and we all see that. You know, that's being judgmental. You know, we may see someone do something we think's wrong, but we can't judge motives. We don't know what their motives are. We don't know them that well. We can't judge their service. We see them doing things, but generally if we're judging their service, we're comparing it to our service. And then we think ours is better than theirs. And then therefore we put them down in that way. We know better than to judge on appearance. Appearance isn't who people are. And if we compare or judge them based on us or me, then I have a wrong view of others. I've not got God's view of others. Our judgment isn't to condemn, but to distinguish right from wrong. To use God's word and to judge things according to it. Judging, again, is separating truth from lies. You know, it's when we weigh something. You've seen the scales of justice. You know, you weigh the good and the bad and you come up with an answer. You know, what righteousness versus what is sinful based on God's word. That's how we judge, you know. In this passage, the word's krino. The word krino means to separate or distinguish or discriminate between good and evil and then select and choose out the good. Judgment does not equal tolerance. Judging does not equal acceptance of sin, which a lot of people take. You know, that's what they say. You're judging me. Well, no, that just means we're biblical, hopefully. We're going living by God's word, and we're telling you what God's word says. Judging is sometimes telling the truth. You know, it's not being tolerant. It's not being acceptant. It's being at one with God's word. It's being truthful. Being judgmental, that's totally different. Being judgmental, the slander, like he talked about in the verse, obviously damages relationships, causes a division, promotes pride. Because if you're talking about slandering someone else, you think a lot highly of yourself more than you do them. And slandering puts them down, and not your eyes only, but others that you've talked to. Promotes pride, and then that weakens spiritual growth. It weakens yours. It weakens those who have heard the slander. You know, you've heard it takes just one bad apple to spoil the whole bunch. And you know, my son and I was just talking about baseball too, and he commented sometimes it just takes one family and one kid that can really create havoc in the whole group. And that's what slander, that's what being judgmental does. It weakens that spiritual growth that should be there. Being judgmental is a big issue. To see the speck in someone's eye and not the beam in your own. What we need and what we have to have is discernment to go with judgment. I think they're hand in hand. Because discernment gives us a spirit-led clarity into what we're doing. It allows us to see sin, but understand further. You know, we can see the sin. You know, we can judge it, good or bad, righteous or not. We have a judgment there based on God's word. But discernment can let us understand a sinner can be cleansed. You know, it's not, they're just not evil. They can be changed. You know, it lets us uphold God's law. We can stick to God's word while extending mercy. It allows compassion without compromise. You know, we can still love people, you know, love the sinner, not the sin. You know, we judge people based on their actions and their words on whether they're following. We have to make some, but discernment tells us the truth about it. And the truth, that discernment gives us compassion and mercy for others because we've received it. We have it. It gives you the understanding to know the difference between righteousness and sin. And not just judging good and bad, but to truly know the difference and what those two things mean. John 7, verses 23 and 24. John 7, 23 and 24 says, "Now if a boy can be circumcised on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me for healing a man's whole body on the Sabbath?" This is Jesus talking. He's healed a man on the Sabbath. And of course, the other folks there are not happy about it at all. But he says, you know, I've healed it, but you can circumcise on the Sabbath for Moses' law. And he goes on to say, stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly. So he didn't say don't judge, but judge with discernment. Judge correctly. Judge with what God would want. Judge with mercy. Judge with compassion. Discernment gives you those things in your judgment. You can discern God's will. Jesus was the example. You know, judge, but with discernment. Allow for mercy. Allow for compassion. Allow it to be Spirit-led. I think the passage, the beginning, says we even need discernment on who we even tell the gospel to. There's certain people who's going to beat it up, and they're going to beat you up. They're going to cause all kinds of problems. You know, he uses dogs and pigs. You know, he says, dogs, don't give your stuff to the dogs. Dogs, he's not talking about dogs like we have today. You know, it's not your puppy at home or, you know, your best friend at home. That dogs back then were more wild. They were garbage eaters. They were not really wanted. If you remember, they ate Jezebel. So that's the kind of dogs they had back then. Pigs were obviously unclean and avoided at all costs, undesired. You know, he's saying, don't give evil, don't give God-rejecting people, you know, what's sacred and what's valuable like pearls, what you have. You know, they'll just trample on the word, and he says they'll tear you apart. So you got to have some judgment on that as well, and discernment on when and how to do those things. Well, how do we know how to discern? You know, say, well, we're good at judgment. We can do that pretty easy. But how do we use discernment in our judgment? He says, you ask, you seek, and you knock. You ask for it. Says you ask. If you ask, it'll be given to you. If you seek, you'll find it. And if you knock, the door will be opened. It goes on to say, you know, the Father's going to give you what you need. He's not going to give you bad things. He's going to give you what you need. He will give you the discernment to go with the judging. He'll give that to you. It comes from the Spirit. I'm going to have an invitation, but I do want to read 1 Corinthians 2, 14 through 16. Before the invitation. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 14 through 16. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things. But such a person is not subject to merely human judgments, for, and it quotes, who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You know, non-believers cannot understand them because they're only discern through the Spirit. We have to have the Holy Spirit to have that discernment. You know, the person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but they have to have the Spirit of discernment. You You have to know right, be able to judge right from wrong, but the discernment to have the rest of God's qualities to go with it, the compassion, the mercy, the wanting to help that person overcome whatever they're going through. But it says such a person is not merely subject to human judgments. You know, we're all subject to God's judgment. You know, we can discern and judge right from wrong, but only God is the judge of life and condemnation. You know, that's God's business. That's not ours, because we all will face that judgment. But if you have to judge, and we're going to, but you know, the Bible's all about self-examination. You know, most of it, you got to look at yourself. So it's better not to judge around you, but it's better to judge within yourself. Then you can see a little more clearly. And then how you judge yourself in that manner, you know, then it's going to reach out. That's how you're going to look at other people. And you're going to see them more with a discerning spirit if you're honest with yourself. So ask, seek, and knock. Get that discerning spirit from God. We're going to make judgments, but do it in God's way. You know, discern those things. Do it with mercy. Do it with compassion. Use Jesus as the example. Let's pray. Lord, we pray to you, Lord. We thank you for your passages, your word, Lord. And it comes that sometimes it's easy to pick a